Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Amy Crisp. She tagged me on a video that she made of me on my podcast because she said it was her favorite podcast. And we have been friends ever since. Of course, you know me, words of affirmation are good. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Leslie. It is my favorite podcast and I am so happy to be here.
Thank you. Well, you know, as I got to know you, girl, I figured out that you, I think, are a fairy expert. And I am so intrigued by fairies. And now that I live out in land and we follow each other, the other day, you sent me a picture of a gnome that you saw in one of my videos. Yes. And then I was like, what? And then you traced it out for me. So let's just talk about gnomes. And we'll talk about all kinds of things. There's so many different kinds. Tell me about the gnome that you saw.
Okay, well, I was watching your videos because you have such a beautiful place and beautiful home. So I love your nature videos. And it was a video of the trail and you were just walking with the camera, looking forward. And over on the side, I saw a gnome and I was like, oh, I bet Leslie would love to see this. And I actually saw many fairies on your property. Some aren't. Yeah. But he was the most clear that I knew you'd be able to probably see him. And basically, what I've learned is that the camera captures a still single moment in time shot, and we can see beyond the veil with the camera.
Oh.
And the fairies, they know if we're taking video or camera, you know, taking a photo.
Yeah.
And sometimes they choose to be in the photos. They actually are so curious about us.
Wow.
So I literally have found out that this is a wonderful way to begin, you know, communicating with the fae.
I am so impressed because we talked that night because you sent that picture to me and I was like freaking out. So we talked a little bit. I didn't know you saw more. But girl, I talk to my trees. You guys know this when you listen to my podcast. I talk to my trees all the time. I mean, I'm always talking to them. So they're probably all around the trees and all around the property. I'm so excited. So can you communicate with them or how does that work?
Well, I have gotten better at communicating with them. It is something you can learn and grow, you know, in your abilities. Some people are born with more what we call, you know, the clairs. I know you've talked about that on your podcast before.
Yeah.
So that gives some people, you know, more ability, but everybody has this ability.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if it's not your strongest gift. You can hone it.
Right.
And I started communicating with them by taking a piece of paper out, you know, like a pad and a piece of paper and using automatic writing. And they would communicate that way. And then they started speaking to me with telepathy.
Oh, wow. So you can communicate. Because I look everything up because I'll tell my listeners, because I did want to ask you, what are they? Where'd they come from? And this is what I gathered. And this is just from Irish and Scottish and Wales and indigenous people, maybe people here in our land that are indigenous, the folklore from that. Are they descended from gods?
Well, some people believe that they are, especially in the Irish and Scottish, you know, the Gaelic traditions.
Yeah.
They believe that they came down from the sky. So like a lot of indigenous oral histories about different beings. And the Cherokee actually is the one I'm the most familiar with. They speak of the little people. And actually, they say that the little people are just small Cherokee.
Really?
And they have a lot of lore about them. Yes. Very tiny, like under 12 inches. Some are even smaller than that, like maybe 6 inches and lower. The ones that I have communicated with the most that seem the most friendly are the gnomes and the ones that look like tiny humans. So these fairies don't necessarily have wings. Some of them do, but most of them do not.
Yeah.
And they are the most communicative and the most willing to kind of be curious and work with human beings.
And y'all, that picture she sent me from the video that she, you know, took a still shot from. And then I was like, I saw a face, but then I said, well, how do you know it's a gnome? And then she traced it out like his little hat. Y'all, I saw the whole thing and it was pretty clear.
Oh, absolutely. I saw it without even having to really look. You know, I didn't have to zero in like I do sometimes with the really tiny ones. Like I saw him sitting over there and I was like, oh, I did a screen grab and traced it out for you. But yes, that means that he has been watching you and they want to communicate with you. They want you to know that they see the work you're doing on your land, that you're protecting the land.
Yes.
And they see you talking to the trees, which is something I do as well. I'm a big tree hugger. But they live under trees. So in my experience with the Fae, what they have told me is that they live in trees, and underneath trees. Okay. And they live anywhere you have like a hilly area, hill.
Yeah.
They tend to like mounds and hills. They are in another dimension. I hate to use the word pocket dimension because it's basically they've told us that they have the same sun and the same rain falls on them, but they're in another dimension where we can't see them.
Oh, wow.
Unless they choose to be seen.
Right. And you know, this guy's, you could have Faye just in your front yard. It's not like just because we have land, you know, or your backyard or whatever, just a little pile of dirt with a tree on it or something, you know, you might have fairies over there. Now, should you invite them, Amy, or should you kind of just let them be?
Well, I personally wanted to. I mean, it's basically a matter of personal choice. As long as you're, you know, being kind to the earth and the trees. The way that I started interacting with them was I started picking up trash, and that's how they revealed themselves to me. I didn't know that at the time. I was in South Carolina living there, and I had a hill in my backyard in a lovely wooded area. It was fenced in.
Yeah.
And they do say that along fence lines, sometimes the veil is a little thinner, so you'll tend to see them right at the fence line. A lot of people have seen fairies at fence lines.
Wow.
But I started just picking up trash because I lived where a waterway came down through my yard off of a highway further up. And so there was a lot of trash that would come down, you know, with rain and things like that. So I would start cleaning up and they noticed it. And they started coming into my dreams.
Oh,
like one
really?
Little gnome like yours, he came and was looking at me while I was asleep. And I woke up in that in-between place, you know, that we sometimes experience in dreaming. And he was looking at me and he got shocked that I woke up. He was like, oh, and he jumped.
Oh my God. Well, you know, because they're like earth angels, in my opinion. Like they take care of the earth, right? And so when you do it for them and you kind of help with that too, that triggers them and they're just like, thank you, you know, without saying thank you. Do they talk or do they do telepathy? Is it more that way?
Yes, it's mostly telepathy. They have that ability. They can also, you know, appear or not appear. Like if you want to use the term shapeshift,
they can
do that. They can pull things into their dimension. So yes, if you've lost things around the house and you didn't think you misplaced them, they were probably taken by your house, Faye.
And that's true because I look things up because there are house spirits and little sprites and there are nature ones like the gnomes and the fairies and the tree sprites. And the, what are the elves, leprechauns, all those elementals, those are all like outside. And the house ones are like the brownies. Is it Bogarts?
Yes.
Okay.
Bogarts is one of the terms. Yep.
Yeah.
I have never really experienced the Bogarts. I have experienced house fae, but they're usually, they just want to kind of live at peace with you in your house. You know, if you leave them alone, they leave you alone. And all fae are a little afraid. They've been taught to be wary. Let's use that word of humans because some humans haven't been great. So they're very wary of humans, but they can see our auras and they can know what your heart is. If your heart is good or if your heart is not good, they know.
They know.
So they are, you know, they'll reveal themselves to people that have good hearts and they can see our auras. So they kind of know if we're going to be kind and good. And there's so many interesting things about the American fae, because I did find some research that said that if you have Irish or Scottish ancestry, some fae accompanied their families, their human families, over when they immigrated to the United States.
Really?
From Ireland and Scotland.
It's funny you say that. Because I am mostly Irish and Scottish, and I've got little Wales in me, and of course, English. So, and a lot of it. Like, I'm 36%, and like another 28%. Like, I'm a lot Scottish and Irish. So,
that's so cool. Yeah, me too. That's mostly what my ancestry is.
But when I was doing the research, you know, like on the house sprites or spirits, Bogarts, they're kind of mischievous, but brownies, they'll help you with chores. Really?
Yeah, they're
that.
Very, very, very sweet. And you can ask them to kind of help you. They'll keep the dust up. And, you know, they just kind of, I also speak to the house. Did you know that you can speak to your house, that your house is a living being?
You know what? The house we had to leave because we just wanted to move out here. I actually said goodbye to it. I actually, because we'd been there 21 years and I kind of cried a little bit. And I said, you know, you served us so well, but the kids are grown and you need to serve another family. We're moving on now, you know, and then I start getting teary eyed. But yeah, I actually talked to my house. I did.
Oh, and you know what else you can do? This is just an aside about houses.
Yeah.
I have found that if you calm your energy down
put your hand on your house somewhere, you know, on the wall or whatever, fireplace, mantle, whatever, you can ask the house what their name is. You'll hear a name in your head very clearly. That is the house's name. And they want you to keep that a secret. So you shouldn't tell anybody but the other people that live in the house what the house's name is. And you'll really develop quite a symbiotic relationship with your house. Like, it really expands the, you know, the relationship between you and your home. And it kind of gives you a love of your home and wanting to caretake it. And the house just seems to glow with love and joy when you start to get to know it. It really does.
It makes so much sense, Amy. And let me tell you why. Because I can walk into a house and feel really good about that house and know it's well taken care of, even if it's messy, you know, just the fact that there's happiness in a house. So why couldn't a house, you know, show you, you know, I think everything has some kind of sentient to it. I do. I think everything does. Even if it's a car. I mean, I know that sounds a little woo-woo and crazy, and you guys can think I am, and I probably am. But I do really think that, you know, because it is made out of things from the earth, and there's a vibration with every single thing that comes from the earth. So why wouldn't,
And one of the teachings in my fae meetings that I go to was about woodworking. So the fae, basically, when they're born, they're given they know what they're born to do, whether that be build things, you know, work with wood, cook, you know, just love kitchen things. There's just whatever, guardians, that's another one. Yeah. But the ones that work with wood say that the wood tells them where it wants to go and what it wants to be. So the house is made of wood that knew it was going to be a house. So there is an energy to it. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's so funny you said that, because we had to take down not a really big tree, but a tree that was probably about 15 years old. And I just broke my heart, because we needed to put a little shop in for my husband, because now we live out here full time. He's got every freaking truck, you know, known to man out here. And so he needs to work on it. And so I went up to the tree and I was like, listen, I'm so sorry I have to take you down, but we're going to use you for firewood. I think I talked to you about this the other day when we were talking. And I said, you know, I'm so sorry, but, you know, it's for the better good, and we're going to take care of you, and we're going to use you in the right way that you should be used, the whole thing. And I still felt guilty, but I didn't feel as guilty, because you're right. You can talk to the trees. You can talk to them.
Absolutely. And they understand. They're not like humans in the perspective that they were placed where they are knowing what they would be and what their purpose was. And they know that they are so okay with their life as a tree ending and becoming something else, because they understand that everything is energy and they're never being destroyed. So they're never truly being destroyed. Even if they're being burned as firewood, they become something else. And they are perfectly okay. And there are spirits attached to trees. In fact, one of my dear friends told me that, I guess in Texas, there were some flooding last year, like at the end of last year or during the summer. And she said that, she said that she saw a light spring out of the tree and fly into the, you know, into the sky.
What?
And that light was the tree spirit leaving when the tree died, because I guess it destroyed a lot of trees in that area.
Crazy, because we had a big fire out here. I think I also told you that back in 2009. We've had this property since 2006, so it felt really, really good to move out here. We've been out here. We've had a house out here for a long time, and the kids kind of grew up out here too. So it was a natural move. But we had a big fire about 3 years after we bought the property. We just had like a double wide out here for a little while until we built this house. But it destroyed all 35 acres except for the really big trees that we kept mowed, and the barn was saved because that was mowed, you know, the whole thing. But it looked like a bomb went off. I wonder, from what you just said, had I been here right after the fire, if I'd have seen a lot of those little lights. Just
you may have.
Wow, you
may have. And so sometimes, though, that's like in a situation where there's a quick, sudden, you know, ending to their life. Now sometimes when a tree falls over, like out in the woods or anywhere really, and lays there for a while, the tree spirit will stay with the tree for a while. And now our scientists have found out that the other trees around it send it sugars and different chemicals to keep it alive, the stump, or, you know, the part that's still in the ground, alive for a while longer.
Well, you know, you're so knowledgeable about this. I love this. But I think you're right, because trees, they intertwine underground. Like, they're all connected underground. Right.
And the mycelium network, you know, that connects all things that grow is underground. And that's where the fairies are, too. A lot of them do live underground.
Yes. And you said they also live inside. Now, is there a way that you can, like, I mean, they're all over the place, so it's not like a tree is going to be a special one or not. But is there a way you can see maybe if a tree might have them more than another one wouldn't?
Well, sometimes I can see, and if you take a picture of the tree, I can see the tree spirit and I can see the fairies that are on the trees. I have one picture that is so clear. Wow. And it's like a row of them. And the funny thing about that is they're all wearing little masks or hats. And what I found with the human type of fae, the small humans, they tend to wear hats, masks, and they tend to carry little bags. They carry staff or some type of what might be construed as like a walking stick or even a weapon, perhaps. And those are the guardians. The ones that carry those are the guardians.
The little weapons. And, oh, my God.
Yeah, like just a way to protect. But the guardians are not like our police, so they're not just punitive and, you know, out to get people or fairies, but what they are caretakers. So they make sure that everyone in the little fairy villages has what they need. They kind of coordinate efforts, you know, if they have to move something, you know, move a village. And oh, speaking of that, if you do have to cut a tree down, it's often good to go out maybe a few days or a week before and say, hey guys, you know, I know you might be living in the tree, but I am going to be cutting this tree down. And it just kind of gives them a heads up.
Nice.
And they do listen like to us because they are very curious about us. So if you've lived there a while, they are around you more than you realize.
Oh, now that you say that, and not that I'm not saying I can feel them, because I don't necessarily think I can feel them. I guess if I tried and if I worked on it, I probably could. Now that I know, because I've had a fairy expert on before several years ago, and I told her about the fire and all the things, and she could communicate with them right then. And she said, no, they know you're there to protect the land. They are not upset that there is a fire. Sometimes it's necessary. And sometimes, And she did say, from what you said, she did say more than likely they went way underground while the fire was going on.
They did. Yes. Okay. And they've told us that they have basically they can go to a certain depth underground where there's like a protection, almost like a vault over them, so that they're protected from fire
the
and
bunker.
From the heat and all that.
Oh my gosh, Amy, this is so incredible. What are the most prevalent though? Like, what are the most, do you know what I'm saying? I know they're all kind of around, but what are the most prevalent that you think are here in the United States?
The most prevalent are definitely the gnomes and the ones that look like little humans.
Okay.
Basically, they have told us that fairies, just like humans, have free will.
Okay.
So they can choose to be good or they can choose to be not good. Or some of them have kind of followed a more, I hate to use dark because dark is not bad. Like a more, I don't want to even say evil path, but
mischievous,
the
maybe.
Funny, yeah. Mischievous path. Yeah. The ones that actually tend to be more mischievous and the ones that I've talked to, they've told me it's the ones with the wings that
many
of them chose to be more mischievous and kind of not like humans very much. And not like some of the other fae that chose to follow basically the good path, the light.
Oh, really?
And so they are invisible. They can make themselves invisible to those fairies too. What happened is the fairies lived in harmony with the humans during Atlantis. They've told us the story.
Oh, wow.
It's an oral history. And they said that basically they started being hunted and unalived by humans that had started to practice really dark arts, like really terrible forms of magic. Like they were seeking power and they were trying to use magic and manipulation of the natural world, you know, to achieve that.
Yeah.
So they knew that the fairies have a particularly pure form of light and energy. And so they were capturing them. And some of the fairies that chose to follow those humans helped capture their fairy buddies and turned them in basically. And because they have free will. So for whatever reason, maybe they were afraid, maybe, you know, who knows? That is when they prayed for the veil to come down. They begged the creator. And now from what our fairies have told us, the archangels brought down the veil and did that to protect them. And this is a long time ago during Atlantis, and then Atlantis fell and the fairies, you know, have stayed behind the veil because humans have sought them. And, you know, there have been humans that are not had good intentions, basically.
Of course.
So they have an oral history that one day the veil will be removed and we will be able to see them and interact with them and live with them again in harmony.
Wouldn't that be
so
fun?
They believe this. Yes, they believe this.
Yeah.
And they believe that right now is a time where the veil is thinning and we are going to be able to see them more and we can build relationships with them. And the reason that they are kind of wanting to do this with more humans is because they want to protect the earth. They feel such a burden about the earth being destroyed, and they're very upset about it. So they want to teach us how to live in harmony with the earth.
Right, exactly. And you know, it's funny, after you talked to me about the gnome you caught and I saw it, I am always and forever finding little rocks that I just love. I just love them. And I found some really pretty rocks, you know, within the trail that you told me about. They're all over the place. It's very rocky here too. And I grabbed like four of them and put them on a little stump of another big rock. And I said, here you guys go. You know, I don't have anything shiny because I know they like shiny things maybe. And they like beer from what I understand.
They do like shiny things. And it's funny because they love our coins.
And
they use our coins when they find them or we gift them to them.
Yeah.
They use them as decoration. They love them. They think their money system is just so odd. They don't understand it. They think it's kind of silly. One of the things that they told us is that we trade paper and they don't understand that.
Right? Yeah.
We tried to explain it to them and they were like, but why would you pay for water? Like they just did not understand why we would have to give something like that for water for food.
I keep asking the same question. I'm like, why should we have to pay to be human? Right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And they do like a barter system amongst themselves. And so if you're the one that makes dishes or spoons or blankets or whatever, you know, they have like a almost like a little marketplace where they trade, but they do so quite willingly and lovingly, and all fairies are cared for. And the really fascinating thing about the ones that I have spoken with, I don't want to speak for all fairies, but the ones I've spoken with, and they've been in three different states, have said that they look out for each other and they can sense when someone is maybe having something that upsets them or some type of pain or, you know, mental suffering. And so they surround them in a circle and they just love them up until they feel better. And so it's very rare for them to kind of go a bad way, you know, and there have been rare instances of it in the fairy villages. And unfortunately, those fairies would have to leave the village, but that is so rare. And it would only be if they could not be a part of the whole. Like, you have to be a part of the whole. You have to be connected.
Let me ask you this. I've had a Bigfoot expert come on and say he thinks that the Bigfoot might be part of the fae. What do you think about that?
I think that if he's not fae, he's definitely someone that they work with and that they acknowledge.
Really?
I think I have a Bigfoot here in North Carolina.
Really?
Because I found the tree structures. And that's something the Bigfoot make to kind of, there's different theories about it. We don't know exactly why they do it. They think that they do it to mark their territories from other Bigfoot. And maybe it's a way of communicating. But I found several trees, like three or four on my property. So it's kind of cool.
Well, and I think they're interdimensional, just kind of like the fae, like they can kind of come and go in our view or not. So that's why he was like, I wonder if he's either part of the fae or adjacent to the fae.
Well, the Cherokee believed in Bigfoot as well as the little people. And they actually have a lot of lore and oral histories about all of those beings and stories that they tell. And they worked with Bigfoot. They say that Bigfoot is a protector of the land and the fairies. And what I've gathered is that they have something to do with the nature and the seasons rolling along and kind of just keeping everything going in nature. They're connected to the natural world. There's a lot of writings, even in the early Christian church. Some of the early church leaders, fathers, the church fathers had written about the fairies, and some of them believed that they were a category of angel.
Listen,
so
I
just put
that
down here on earth to take care of nature.
Yeah. Well, and that may be why he kind of thought maybe they're part of the fae, because they are earth protectors. And anytime, anytime we want to, you know, do anything to the land or whatever, sometimes farmers can't get crops to grow. And maybe it's just in a place where they shouldn't have dug that, or they shouldn't have put it in that particular spot.
I mean, they seem to understand like ley lines, and they seem to, and I truly believe they're interdimensional, just like the fae.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm really starting to believe that we are just a dimension here, you know, our dimension.
For sure.
And that, you know, like the telepathy tapes have said that some of the research with autistic children, they go to a dimension, to a place. Yes. Like it's on a hill, and they literally all go to this place. Some of them have reported going to this place. It's behind a fence where they're safe, and there's actually guardians at the gate, and they play and do all sorts of magical, cool things. And that's where they go when they're not, I guess, you know, especially some of the nonverbal autistic children.
Right, right.
So it's really fascinating, the things that we are capable of as human beings.
Oh, absolutely.
And we just don't know.
Well, another thing I've seen too, or I've heard that there's this new thing. I don't know if you've heard it. Like when people dream, they all go to Mall World.
Yeah, my husband's one of them.
Really? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I started watching TikToks about Mall World, and I was telling him about it because I always tell him all my cool stuff. He's like you've described your husband. He wants to see it. He's not just going to believe it like I do.
Right,
he's not woo-woo like me.
Yeah.
But he likes to hear about it.
Yeah.
And he does say my fairy pictures are very fascinating. He can't explain them.
Right.
But he told me, he was like, yeah, I've dreamed about Mall World for years. What are you talking about? He didn't even know it was a thing on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, all these people are going to the same place.
I know. Well, let me tell my listeners, what's going on is a lot of people in their dreams, and it's not just mall. It could be like an airport or a bathroom, like a big long stall of bathrooms, you know. And you guys have had those dreams. I've had dreams of the big bathroom thing where none of them are working. And, you know, probably just because you have to go in the middle of the night. I don't know. But usually you don't have to go when you're asleep. You know, it's like everything is kind of put on pause as far as your organs, you know, like it just puts you in like sleep mode to where, you know, you don't really realize you have to go to the restroom until you actually wake up and you're like, oh, now I have to go. Right. So, but when you're sleeping, you don't really have that sensation. Just like smelling, you don't smell anything when you're asleep. That's why a lot of people die in fires. So it just kind of shuts down some of those sensories. But what it is people literally dream of a mall. And a lot of it's the same, like it's a kind of a mall that's been abandoned. It's got like trees growing out of it. It's really kind of scary looking, but they all go there.
Yeah. My husband said that he goes to the food court, which a lot of people describe the food court.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the movie theater and there's like weird stuff. It's very like kind of low key scary and just kind of gloomy and creepy. And he'll say there'll be like black and white flashing like an old movie kind of playing in the background. But the thing that's fascinating is they say that they see people, but they don't talk to them. And some of the theories are that those are the other people dreaming at the same time about Mall World.
Yes.
And it has been connected to GATE too, the GATE program, gifted program.
Oh my gosh. See, that's just incredible to me. Wouldn't it be great if the fairies showed up there too? Wouldn't that be great? Just come on in, fairies. Let's do some things in here now.
Yeah. And you know, I have had the fairies come into my dreams, like in a when I was kind of lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
And I've had shamanic journey meditation. And that has really expanded my understanding of the fairies. And several of them have visited me that way when I was in meditation. So it seems like when you kind of relax and meditate or kind of get your consciousness, you know, calmed down where you can kind of receive information, they can send it to you.
Yeah. Because, guys, every time I go for a walk in, and we have several trails, and they're just, we have a very densely treed property. I mean, we have open areas like where our houses are and that kind of thing. Like our kids have their own like special area, their own driveway. And then 400 feet away, you don't even see their house from our house, but they're not really far. But there's
That's so cool.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I know. Listen, it's the best decision we ever made because they were like, when we wanted to move out here, because everybody was gone and we had this big 3,400 square foot house we weren't using all of. And I'm too practical for that. And then we had this little 3-bedroom, 2-bath house out here. Plenty of room for Randy and I. Guys, it's only like 1,500 square feet. I went less than half of what we were in. But it's got 2 living rooms, a big kitchen, 3 bedrooms, 2. It's plenty big enough. Big patio, all the things. And then the kids were like, hey, can we build a house out there? And we're like, yeah, now we get to, now we get to have our grandchildren close to us and we can help you raise them. And we're about an hour and a half out of DFW, Dallas, Fort Worth. So there's big cities that are very close to us, but we're out in the boonies and we love it. And I'm telling you, we have a Mimi Papa trail, one of many other trails. And that is a trail that I walk. And I walk down that trail, Amy, and I feel so good. When I walk down that trail, I mean, all of them ground me and make me feel better. But that particular one, listen, I can't explain it.
Well, they're probably sending you positive energy and, you know, they know that you're there and they're happy. If you feel that, they're very happy that you are the caretaker of that land. Oh. And that's what I say. If you're, and what you said earlier about if you're in a city or you have, even sometimes you can see them at apartment complexes where the trees are. I received a message that I was to tell people, and I made a TikTok about this. The trees want us to talk to them. They want us to acknowledge them as sentient. So even in parking lots or at apartment complexes, at parks, say hello to the trees. Put your hand on them. They like that. I always ask, and I get a yes or no in my body. And one of my friends on TikTok, who was actually the first person I followed, she taught me how to do the body pendulum. So you can kind of learn with your body. You can look it up on TikTok and, and find out about it. But it'll give you a yes or no in your body. So it's kind of an easier way to hear, you know, yes or no answers if you're just beginning the process of communicating with nature and other beings. Yeah. And so I'll hear a yes, and then I'll put my hand on the tree. And I've literally had such profound healing experiences from trees. Yeah. One tree scanned me like I felt it and saw it. Yes, they scanned me for actual physical health issues. And at the time, I'd had a pulmonary embolism from COVID.
Goodness,
and so I was about a year after, I still had issues with my lungs. I was having a lot of trouble if I had to walk long distances, you know, like in an airport. And they healed me. I felt them sending energy into the parts of my body that were injured. And this tree was a female, and she had a male companion right next to her. They were huge oaks. And this was at a parking lot next to a park. It was like one of those parking lots where the middle was the trees, and they were so beautiful and big that they preserved them. And I had gone up underneath them and picked up trash. And because I did that, they gave me the gift of healing in my body. Oh, and they'll do that. They love, trees love humans for the most part. There's some that are angry about the way humans have treated the earth, but you rarely encounter the ones that just absolutely refuse to interact with you.
Exactly. You see all the people from my podcast walking up to a tree in a parking lot.
Do it. Yes. Even if you just walk by and say hello to the tree, if you don't want to look like a, you know, an oddball like me, I don't care anymore.
I don't care. But you know, I've seen those videos on TikTok, Amy, when just a little two or three leaves are waving at them. There's no breeze. And they're waving at them.
I have videos like that too. And I have ones where my beech tree that I'm connected to in this yard here, he's told me that he has watched over multiple generations of my family. And he literally, if I put my hand up, he will slowly move down. I have it on video. I haven't shared them because I guess I need to line it up where it doesn't look like I'm manipulating the the view, although I'm not. I wanted to get somebody else to videotape it so you could see everything, like my whole body, so you'd know that I wasn't, you know, I was not doing anything to make it happen. But he'll come down and touch my hand. He loves to do that. And he just absolutely, I can talk to him even in Florida or South Carolina, wherever I'm at, I can talk to him because we shared energy and we're connected.
Well, you know, there's so much magic that we don't even know is around us. And guys, if you could accept the fact that I really do believe in fairies, I know they're around us, tree sprites, you know, gnomes, all the things. And then trees also, they're just, first of all, they're so beautiful and majestic, even the small ones, because they're all connected.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if we just knew, or just kind of kept in mind that there's power within just nature. Just that. I mean, listen, we have deer, as you know, you see my TikToks coming to our feeder almost every day. And I take a lot of videos of the deer just because it calms me. But you know, they used to never come very often because they were so afraid. I talk to the deer, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm in the house. Absolutely. You know, I know they can't physically hear me, but I'm telling you, I'm like, you're safe. No one's going to hurt you here.
If they can't hear you, or if the fairies are telling them, you could ask the fairies in your area, say, let all the deer know that it's safe to come here, that we are caretakers of them and we don't want to harm them. And they'll tell them. They will tell the animals. In fact, when we started, my dad and I started talking to the fairies here on the property. They started planting flowers in places that flowers had never, like carpets of flowers, utterly unbelievable. Like, everything started to be greener and more intense. And it was really, we did see a complete difference.
Wow.
We just casually, like, even if you can't hear them, talk to them and you'll find that they leave gifts for you. I leave gifts for them too. A lot of people will say honey, but I actually don't leave honey because I found that the ants would unaliven them in the honey.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't leave that. And they told us, I asked them about the gifts, and they can pull gifts into their world. But for the most part, it's the energy of the gift, like the love and the thanks, you know, the gratitude. That's what they are receiving. So they do view things differently than we do.
Oh, absolutely.
When it comes to their understanding of spirit.
Well, we have a little coin jar. I'm going to go get some little nickels and quarters, and I'm going to put them out there. Now, I know Crow like them too. I would love to befriend a crow too. But
me too. Yeah. I feed the crows.
Yeah. But, you know, and if they want one, that's fine too. But I tell you, this is fascinating. I could talk to you about this forever.
You can give the water offerings. Like sometimes I'll throw flowers into the water or certain little tiny, like I buy little tiny crystals, like bags of like quartz, you know, little tiny pieces of quartz. You can get like a big bag of them. And so I gift those to trees everywhere. In fact, yesterday I love some quartz. I keep a bag in my purse and I gave some trees that we stayed with a friend. And so I love these trees because I talk to them all the time. And so I left some quartz right at their roots or right inside.
Oh,
like one of them had a little bifurcation and I just put one there.
Well,
so like they like that.
Well, you know what? I'm all about crystals too. And like I just said, I could talk to you about this forever, but I know you have to go. But listen, maybe we'll have you back on and we'll do some more talking about the fae because I love this.
Go deeper into some of the things I've learned.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to say, if someone is interested in working with the fairies on their property, start picking up trash in your area and just talking out loud and telling nature and the earth and the elements and the fairies that you want to be a caretaker as a human being of the natural world, and just start being aware, like be aware of what is going on. In fact, I have friends, one is in North Carolina, they go to my fairy meeting with me, and one is in California.
Yeah.
And both of them have done this in their life and just had amazing results.
Wow.
One of them has a garden, just the most gorgeous flowers you've ever seen. Like it really does make a difference.
Wow.
And my other friend in North Carolina, she actually can channel the fairies as they're talking. So that's how we do our meetings. So I would love for you to meet them too, because they've been a big part of my life, you know, getting to know the fae world.
Well, I tell you, you've really opened my eyes and given me some really good ideas, and hopefully given the listeners some good ideas. Because guys, with the way the world is right now, let's all go outside and talk to the trees, and let's talk to all the gnomes and all the fairy.
Absolutely. And we should be wanting to preserve the earth. That is something that, you know, as human beings, this is something that is one of our jobs. If you have to wonder what your destiny is, one of your destinies is to help keep the earth beautiful and to be a good citizen of the earth.
I agree.
And,
I agree.
You know, for some people that goes even further into caretaking the earth, but all of us have this basic calling to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And Amy, now, do you have anything related to fae that you offer online, or are you just more of a TikTok creator?
Right now, I am planning some things. And, you know, that is something that I have for 2026.
Yes.
I do have a TikTok if people want to go and check it out.
Yes.
I have pinned videos. I have three pinned videos that are pictures I've taken that are really clear, like utterly, like I think they're amazing.
Yes.
I've had a lot of feedback from other people through TikTok about their own experiences with the fae.
Yes.
So I know that, you know, more people than just me and my friends are experiencing this. It's Fairy Dreamer 7, but fairy is spelled F-A-E, like fae, R-I-E. Dreamer 7.
Okay. And I'll add it. Yeah. And I'll add all that in the show notes, because you have an Instagram as well, correct?
I do. And that's on my TikTok. You can reach my Instagram on there.
Because that way, if somebody doesn't have TikTok, they can find your Instagram. And I may just put both of those in the show notes, because
I would love if anyone has experiences that they would like to share with me. I would love that, because I am planning on starting to kind of showcase other people's experiences. And that's something I have planned for 2026.
Nice.
So I would love to hear stories from other folks.
Yeah. You have been amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll have you back, girl. You were amazing.
I would love that, because I'd like to dig deeper into some of the specific things the fairies have taught us from the meetings. That is like nothing else I've ever heard from the fairy lore, even in Scotland and Ireland.
Right.
So definitely we should do this again.
Absolutely.
I'd love that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show, girl.
Thank you for having me. This is like, I told my husband, I said, I'm going to be fangirling the whole time, because I love Leslie.
Oh, thank you.
It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist, and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.